This is just a beautiful holiday. It's not one that requires a lot of rejoicing and festivities. I like the holidays that bring us back to center, that we remember. It's been a hard year, and I know that many of us, we shirk at the idea of being humbled and looking at this. But there's one more thing, one more special. It's not in our bulletin, not on an agenda, but one that I think is very fitting. Miss Barber, she wrote a poem to commemorate this day, and I know it means a lot to her given this past year and these past few weeks. So if y'all will, give her undivided attention, then after that we'll continue with our sermon. Miss Barber.
I know I'm dating myself, but how many people remember when we could still say the Pledge of Allegiance in school? I've seen the wee small babies as they fret and as they cry, and I shed a lone tear as they stroll and then pass by. What about my wee tots? Are they brave? Are they tall? What could they have been if they'd been born at all? There's a chapel that's close by, though I've heard no one speak. But about twice a year, some kids play hide-and-go-seek. I've also seen the protest. I've seen my flag be burned. I've seen folks given things they did not work for or earn. Once I felt important, now obsolete and a bore. Once I saw throngs of people, not a handful anymore. The country that I love just now no longer is. There is no right or wrong. Just go and take what's his. They're trying to take our guns. The children just don't learn. They're taught to go hurt others, to destroy, and then to burn. What happened to respect for this land on which you trod? Do duty for your country, one nation under God. When my voice is forgotten, and very soon 'twill be, my words will then be silent as me. My face is now a memory, erased for all of time. But I did leave you something, and it's not too hard to find. You will see a white cross, and on that cross a name. There's nothing else that's special. In fact, it looks the same. The same cross on my left, and another's on my right. There's rows and rows of crosses right here within your sight. But my cross has a name. It's not like the cross before. In the thousands of crosses here, you will find my name no more. Beneath this cross, a man, like the others you now see, a person that laughed and loved, that man one time was me. I gave my country all I had to ensure a victory win. And if God would grant me life anew, I would do it all again. So on this day, when you go out with your friends and family to picnic, boat, or share a smile in backyards or on the sea, please don't forget that long ago, and it may be far away, my coffin was once draped with a flag that waves half-staff today. If you should ever come by here and see my name and cross, I served God first, then my country, so I did not die lost. If it's sunshine, rain, or snow, and silence the only sound, my cross and name are standing guard o'er my little plot of ground. And remember one last thing that I would ask of thee. It's a soldier's one last wish. Please don't forget about me.
Thank you, Miss Barbara. Thank you all for coming today. On special days like this, it's really hard to not dedicate these services entirely. But I believe that God teach us that we should be patriotic. Love our country and our kinsmen to protect them at all cost. It's what he gave for Israel, and that's what I believe he would want for us. For us to stand with his people, for us to stand with each other. We're going to read 4 quick verses today. If you will, please stand in reverence to that. We're going to speak about a man who led a people. Continuing on, we started last week with Gideon and how he was called. Today I would like us to look at Gideon and probably the most memorable task, memorable set of verses that Gideon was ever attached to. Judges chapter 6 verse 36 starts. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and the dry be upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. And he rose up early in the morning, and he thrust the fleece together, and he wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. But then something happened. Gideon got scared. Verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. And it now be a dry only upon the fleece, and all upon the ground, let there be dew. And God did so that night, and it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew all around the ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this text. I thank you for the life of Gideon. And Lord, I pray that I do it justice as I speak upon the nation that he looks to win and upon his character that we shine today. Lord, it's in your Son's name we pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. Thank you so much for your standing in reverence. You may be seated. Let's go back a few verses and get some context. Judges chapter 6, verse 25. I want us to see why I want to talk about Gideon, especially on a holiday like today. How many of y'all know that we live in a wicked and perverse nation? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you know that our church is not that? We are not wicked. We are not perverse. We sell ourselves to the will of God. Say amen.
Amen.
How many of y'all think those are pretty daunting numbers? The Christians of this world going across a nation who has solely lost its path and lost its way. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. I want to edify you. I want to build you up today. And coming with this understanding, Gideon was in a very similar place than we are today. When we go outside of our door and we look upon the nation, it is lost and undone. And it really doesn't know where it's going. In our context to help us gather what I want us to speak about and why Gideon prayed what he did, let's look at some context. Verse 25 says, and it came to pass in the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath cut down in the grove that is by it. And he built an altar of the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. And he ordered this place, and take the second bullock, and he offered the burnt sacrifices unto the wood and the grove that shall cut down. And Gideon took 10 men of his servants, verse 27, and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, and he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. The first thing I want us to talk about here. Oh, I was supposed to be sung. That was just one verse. I apologize. It is up there, I promise. One of the things that Gideon was doing here is he was becoming God's judge. Now, this is the first judge in the books of Judges, and to understand where we're going and understand the context is this is the first time this has ever been happened. Israel is under slavery. There are people who are put down, judged, and persecuted by these greater authorities that be.
And we find here that Gideon is the only one that remembers God's promises. He's the only one that has been doing these things, and God spoke to him directly. He says, listen, you are now going to be not only the general, the physical leader of these people, but you're also going to be the spiritual leader. Men, I throw no punches about this. I hold none of them back. We are the spiritual leaders of our families. If you agree with that, say amen. If you don't agree with that, God disagrees with you. We are. Whether you like it or not, we hold the fort down. We're the ones that are responsible. Gideon now is stating to this understanding that he is now the spiritual leader not only of his family, but also his nation. He goes to his dad's altar of a foreign god, and he tears it down, and he burns an altar there for his God. He's become the physical, and he's become the spiritual leader. Let's continue on to Judges chapter 33. Skip down. And he says this, and all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all of Manasseh, and also gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and to Zebulun, and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. He was becoming not only a spiritual leader, but this great commanding general of all the nations. I find it to be interesting here, and this will mean a lot more come down to the end of this. But look at the first person that came there in the previous verse. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, meaning the gathering of the forces. And these first people, Abiezer, were his daddy's people. The ones that he just attacked just a few verses earlier. He just tore down their altars, and he says, listen, there's an enemy coming. And we need to be ready spiritually, and we need to be ready physically. We need to gather together and come together because we can't win this undivided. We need to come as one. If we're split, if we're divided, we're not going to win. So we got to be right with God, and we got to be right with each other. He tore down the altars of his father. His father made a big spiel out of it. He says, let Baal judge himself. And they come together. They hear Gideon's cry. Then we get to our text in verse 36. He's gathered up three tribes and his father's people. And this is where our text begins. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, he puts out the fleece. Today's understanding of what I really want to talk about and how it applies to every person here. Don't think you're not in the military. Don't think that you have nothing special about this holiday. This service doesn't apply to me. You're wrong. One of the main things I'm going to talk about today is prayer. One of the main thrusts of what I believe Gideon is doing here is he's getting real with God. He is bowing down and he is getting to this point where he's asking God to be with him. In the first text, in the first verse of our text, 36, he says, as thou hast said. Here's one of the things I've realized about prayer. 9 times out of 10, when we pray, we know what God's answer is before we pray. How many of y'all agree with that? Shake your head. How many of y'all know that God does not want our nation to go away? He would have all men come unto him. Y'all say amen to that. He would have every lost person saved. There's something that fights against us on an everyday basis. We know the answer that God has, but we look reality in the face and we begin to get scared. Gideon knew what the answer was. Just a few verses back, God came to Gideon and says, Gideon, I want you to lead this people, you mighty man of valor. I want you to lead these people and lead this nation out of slavery, and I want you to become the judge that I have made you. He knows these things to be true. There was a time in my life, and it wasn't too long ago, that I believe this is where I grew up. And I believe it in this text. Bless you. I come from a military family. I was raised in a very militaristic way, a lifestyle. If my daddy said jump, I said, many of y'all know. I was required to do everything my dad said to a T. And that there were punishments and there was rewards if I did it and punishments if I did not. My dad was in the military. My mom was in the military. They both met in the Army. I loved every bit of it. So much so that when I became in high school, I was excited about ROTC to have my own. There was so much about it that I did like. And it instilled in me this grit of getting done with things. And finally, if I put my mind to it, I was going to do it. This is where I really began to meet with Gideon here. How many of you know, if you've been raised like me, if you were raised in a scenario and you have that kind of grit about yourselves, that you would risk life and limb to get what you thought needed to be done, done. No matter what it was, I would do what was necessary to fulfill my calling, to fulfill my job. If I'd ask for help, I'd ask for help. But I was not going to leave that job until it was done. There's a very real thing that happens, though, because the world is not just black and white. Gideon's calling was to lead a people, and he had no idea this had never been done before. And so, yes, he's not going to argue with God. Yes, I will accept these things. I will do as it is that you have sent me to do. And so he goes out, and he begins to tear down the altars. He gets 10 people to help him do it. That's his first flank of people. He comes and has this nation brought up. Then he calls the trumpet, and the people that he tore down the altars come. And then he says it even further, sends out people, and then 3 tribes come and join with him. And then reality sets in. This is not a one-man fight. Gideon's prayer right here is unique. Because his prayer is not for him. His prayer is for his nation. For his people, his kindred. The ones he loved and would fight for. And he's setting out here and he's getting ready to go to this battle. And he's like, Lord, I would do this. I would do this hands down and I would never think twice about it. But now I'm in charge of a nation. Their blood is on my hands. I want to reemphasize this and I don't want you to let this go because I want you to see why he did what he did. He sent out the fleece and he asked God, God, if the fleece be wet and everything else be dry, I want this to be your will. You will confirm in me that what you said previously has not changed. That is not just me going to war, it is a nation. And I want to make sure I'm right because if I'm wrong, their blood's on my hands. So God answered. He wrings out the fleece into a full bowl of water. And he says, well, this makes total sense because fleece, this wool absorbs water. He says, it's not much of a miracle to ask for something to be wet in the dew. So he changes his tone. He says, and it was so, verse 38, and he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed it out to the fleece in a full bowl of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, this once. With the fleece, let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon all the ground there be dew and wet. I've read often many commentators of how this happened, why it happened, so forth and so on. The truth of the matter is, I don't need to know why it happened or how it happened. I do know the purpose of it. God was answering Gideon's prayer. Not only did he answer Gideon's prayer once, but he did it twice. Now listen, when preparing this, I already know where most people are thinking because it's why I have talked with other people and they've mentioned these things to me. Why doesn't God answer my prayers like this? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? I have 3 points to that. And I want us to be mindful of what Gideon was doing here. Gideon was now becoming a judge, something that had never been done before. He was holding a lot of people's lives in his hands, and he wanted to make sure that this was going to be the case. In regard to his prayer, he was now the physical and spiritual fate of his nation was upon this one prayer. There's something I want us to see here before we get into why God doesn't answer our prayers like this. And I can't seem to get through this part without really having to stop and think about it. Gideon here was called. He was underqualified and underprepared, but he had a passion for what was right. We had one person turn into 11, two in turn turn into a small army, which turned into a grand army of 3 nations. 3 tribes gathered together to fight for what was right. It started with one. I want you to see that. How many of y'all see that? You shake your heads with me. The thrust of God's power rested upon one man being faithful to his calling. Is our nation in a bad way? Yes. I'm not going to fight that. I'm not going to argue that. This nation has seen one thing after one thing and another after another, and it has slowly descended into a lifestyle of sin that is now not only looked upon but applauded. It is a nation of wickedness, and it's one that scares me. It does, but I want you to see this. My family and my church and my people will be victorious because we are faithful. Look at that, just for a quick second. Yes, the world around us may fall about, but I will stand assured because my God is greater than what the world has to offer. Greater is He that is in me, that is in the world. The Bible has talked about it thousands of times, but we seem to forget that when we turn on the news. We seem to forget that when the papers are open. When we see the world going to hell in a handbasket, we tend to forget that we're okay. We are. This is boot camp, people. This is the hard times. But it will end and we will be victorious. Amen? But there's a caveat. There's an asterisk. We have to be faithful. We can be scared. Gideon was scared. But we have to be faithful. I know there's many of us. God has called us and gave us a passion and a burning and a doing for His word and for His kingdom, for His church, for His brethren. We have been called to be Christian activists. We are called to live as Jesus lives. We are the hands and feet of God in His stead. Sometimes that's difficult. His commandments are difficult. Y'all shake your heads. I know it is. I don't care what the sacrifice is. I don't care the cost. I don't care the difficulty. If we are faithful, God will reward us. He will. So why doesn't God answer our prayers? Like this. When we come to Him and He answers them right away, the next morning we have the answers that we desire. I mentioned it earlier. Most of what we pray for, God has already given us the answer to His Word. Now, I'm going to get up on my soapbox and I'm going to say this. If it offends you, I'm sorry. But if it's anything else, I hope it to enlighten us. There's a lot of prayers that God does not answer because He's already addressed it in His Word and you refuse to read it. There's a lot of times where God says, I've told you what your will is for this life, what my will is for you in this life. but you refuse to open up my word, and I refuse to repeat myself. I have given you my calling. I have placed it upon you. My spirit is upon you, but you refuse to do the basics, and I will not reward those who will not try. Most of what we pray for, God has already given us the answer to. Gideon knew what God wanted way before this came about. But he never knew the cost. That's what the change was. We were very similar with Gideon until this point. And listen, I'm not going to lie. When Jesus asked me to be a pastor, I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. But I didn't go around telling everybody, hey, He's called me to be a preacher. I didn't proclaim it. I didn't put it on social media. I was scared to death. Because I was not bred. I was not raised in a godly home. I did not have a name. I was a lost boy that got saved. And then 2 years later, God asked me to do this. I feel for Gideon because I am underprepared. I didn't have what it took in my mind. And here's the thing, and I want us to realize here that it was definitely true for me and it's definitely true for us. He says, those who take upon the pulpit and they teach the Word of God, we will be doubly accountable for my life and those that I teach. Got to preach it right. I've got to be true. God holds me to a higher standard when it comes to the truth. I know that many of y'all are not called be pastors and teachers. But I do want you to see something. Gideon was not prepared. He was underprepared. He was not ready for all the things that were going to come. But all he had to do was be faithful, and God rewarded him. From 1 to 10, or 11, and from 11 to a family, from a family to an army, all because he was willing to do what was right. Was he scared? He even did it at night because of fear of his father's house and his men. He did everything in secret. How many of y'all know that what we do in secret, God will bring to the open? He says, if you will do the very basics, you don't have to be this blatant, strong Bible thumper that's out there in the public and says Jesus' name, but if you are genuine and you say your prayers and you are in that Bible and you commit to the things that it says and the ways that Jesus talks, He will reward us. But there is a cost. That cost may be grand and it may be small, but God does require us to not shirk, to not stand back. But when he says, those who are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of them. To speak out your proclamation, I am a Christian and I live in a world that is not. There's something that we learn about Gideon here. Courage and a desire to further God's kingdom are necessary for God's blessing. It focuses on prayer, this message, and I want to keep it there. Are your prayers courageous? Are your prayers for the furtherance of God's kingdom? Or are we just trying to save face and keep what we have? We are called to be a light in darkness. We are called to be the salt in an unsavory place. We are called to make a difference. And if all we're worried about is saving face and keeping what we have, we will lose. But if we'll have courage, as Gideon was about to show, he was scared and he was wanting confirmation, but he was going to fight the battles. He was going to get out there and do what was necessary. We can't win the war on sin without a desire to do God's will ourselves. Let me say that again. This nation will be lost until every one of its members decides, hey, serving God is better than serving myself. May our prayers reflect that.
on sermons like this, I fear that I'm going to make somebody completely upset with some of these things. But I want to say this. Don't pray for our nation if you're not willing to pray for yourself. It's not going to work. Those are empty prayers. Because our nation is no more than a bunch of people who have come together. We are not family. The only thing that joins us is our association with them in one continent. And the only way this nation is going to get better is when we sell out for the ideals of holiness and righteousness. There are no exceptions to the rule. When we do what we are called to do, when we follow after God, then and only then will our country be better. I wrote this. I've never forgot it. In the small, I think it was summer camp in Alabama, I was taught where God guides, God provides. And if God guides us to be holy, He won't put obstacles in our way. He'll give us the courage to do so, and He'll test us, and He'll try us, and He'll make us better and stronger. And it's okay to be fearful, to ask God for confirmations, unless His Word is evidently clear. If we hesitate to follow God's written Word, it will not be because it's not clear. It will be because we are not willing to sacrifice for our spiritual good. For my last point on why God does not ask our prayers, I want to take a look in the New Testament. Give this verse, James chapter 4, verse 3. Ye ask and receive not. God does not answer your prayers because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. If there was ever... Now, listen. I want to be perfectly clear here. We are Christians. Amen? We're here for a reason. But I want to be evidently clear. It is impossible for us to live in America and not be influenced from the outside in. It is impossible for us not to have the same traits as those of our neighbors, our companies that we work with. It is impossible for us to stand clean and never become blemished by the world that we live in. The world we live in consumes upon their own lusts. And if we're not careful, our prayers will be only for our benefit, only for our feelings, only for our gain, only for us. And we look to become selfish. So let me take one more look at Gideon and understand what he's praying for. He's not praying for his own bravery. He's not praying for himself. He's praying for his people. He says, Lord, I've committed and I'm going to do what it is that you ask of me. So, Lord, if the fleece be wet and the floor be dry, so let it be. He rings it out. God answered his prayer. But then the realization sets. He says, God answered, so now I've got to line my people up and go to war. Which we'll talk about that next week. We will go to war with my faulty, failed people who have ragtag team who is going to win this great battle. He says, I've just got to make sure. So if the fleece be dry and the floor be wet. And he tells God, don't be mad with me. He says, I'm going to do what it is that you said, but the fate of a nation lands in my hands. This has never been done before. You've never asked anybody to do this before, and I know the severity of what you're asking me, God. So answer this prayer. I don't know how real that is right now to you, but in case it has passed you, let me say the fate of our nation lies in our hands. If you want our nation to be holy, then you be holy. If you want this church to be a light in the midst of darkness, then you be that light. If you want God to bless this church, then you be faithful. Amen?
If we want God to do a great work in this nation, then let it start at this church with this people, and we dedicate ourselves to the cause of Christ, and no matter what's coming, no matter the price, we say we're going to do it. I'm not a part to how much sacrifice that's going to take. It's going to take all of us sacrificing. I get that. But here's the greatest thing, and this is what I love about Christianity. This is what I love about preaching. This is what I love about being a pastor. I can't make you sacrifice anything. But I can me. As long as you come to this church, I'm going to sacrifice. Amen? I'm not asking for you to do anything other than to do your part. No matter what God puts on your heart, no matter how He guides or leads you, I'm just asking you to do your part. You be holy. You be right. And if there's enough of us who will do that, it doesn't matter if it's one or two or three. We're really going to dive into this next week. It doesn't matter how many of us do it, but if we do it, God will reward us. I haven't done the count, but it looks like we've got about 80 people here today. If all 80 of us do it, we'll make a difference fast. But I tell you, if just 5-10 of us do it, we'll still win. That was God's promise to get in. He says, if nobody else follow you, get in. I will win this war if it be by one man. Y'all remember that verse? If it's just one, I will do it. I will use you and I will help you. That's my prayer. My prayer is for us not to be a great church. I don't say that prayer for us on my own lust. I say it because I believe this nation needs it. I believe our families need it. I believe this county needs it. I believe this city needs it. I believe our families need to look at us and say, that's the way a Christian should live. Immovable but compassionate. Holy but loving. A hard sale. But if we'll do it, God will reward us. Amen. With every head bowed, with every eye closed.